Thanks for listening to today's episode of Journey Now. Join us for our virtual Sunday gatherings at 10 a.m. on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, or through our website at journeytn.com/livestream.
Hi everyone, this is Brett Mabry with Journey Now. The other night I got chatting to a couple of friends about names and the impact they have on our lives. When my wife Karen and I were naming our children, we had to allow for the names to work in both French and English. The spelling, the pronunciation, and meaning. If we named our child Salvador or Sally, this could be shortened to Sal, which is fine in English, but in French this means dirty, as in, hey dad, are those dishes dirty? Yeah, those dishes are dirty, dirty. In my case, my parents couldn't agree on names, but after my dad watched my mum give birth to twin boys, he said, honey, you can call our kids whatever you want. I ended up being called Brett because my mum simply liked the name. How about you? Was your name passed down through the generations? Were you named after someone famous? Does it have biblical meaning? In Romeo and Juliet, William Shakespeare raises the impact of a name with these words. What's in a name? That which we call a rose, by any other name, would smell as sweet. Here it seems Juliet is poetically reasoning that the Montague name carried by Romeo won't change her affection for this man, even though he is from her family's rival house. Juliet insists she loves the person, not the artificial convention of a name. Lucy Maud Montgomery brings this Shakespeare quote into Anne of Green Gables, where the character Anne responds, I read in a book once that a rose by any other name would smell as sweet, but I've never been able to believe it. I don't believe a rose would be as nice if it was called a thistle or a skunk cabbage. In her literal reasoning of Juliet's words, Anne raises a valid consideration. How powerful are the names we carry? Does a name change how we see and experience things? Could a change of name impact the outcome? There are a number of times that God gives another name in order to establish a new identity and purpose, such as Abram becoming Abraham. But these stories will need to be for another podcast. Today, we'll take a look at a different kind of name that God gives and consider what this means for us. It's where all 12 apostles are being listed in Mark chapter 3. And in verse 17 we read, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, to them he gave the nickname Boanerges, which means sons of thunder. That's it. You won't see this verse on many t-shirts or drinking mugs. I imagine it wouldn't sell many bumper stickers either, but there is something significant for us here. James and John are the sons of Zebedee. They work with their dad in what looked to be a successful fishing business, with Zebedee employing other hired hands. When they were given the honor of being invited to follow Jesus, they left the nets behind. Jesus designated them apostles, and at some point in their travels he gave them the nickname the Boanerges brothers, sons of thunder. And I have to say they really lived up to this. When they ran into some prejudice in Samaria, they actually asked Jesus, Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven to destroy them? I mean, can you imagine? The brothers standing there, the Boanerges brothers, saying, look, Jesus, we can take care of this for you. Just give us the okay and we'll tell fire to come down from heaven and get rid of these people. Evidently, this was no laughing matter to the Lord. I've never really seen Jesus as the guy in the group who gives out clever nicknames. Do you see Jesus this way? I think it helps if we understand that it was common practice for new names to be given in their culture. Interestingly, when I look at this nickname, it seems that it wasn't so much something new being established, but a personal quality already in existence being affirmed. And when we consider the beautiful picture an affectionate nickname can paint, it makes sense that Jesus would pick up this brush. There are very personal relational qualities that a meaningful nickname encapsulates. A married couple displays this when they give one another new names. It doesn't have to be fancy, babe, sweetie, honey bunny, and pumpkin all fit into this category. To a large extent, what makes the name both unique and special is the sender of that name. From anyone else, that name loses its power, even becomes inappropriate. Of course, the kind of romantic love being expressed here is different from the kind of love exchange between God and humanity. However, there is a common thread when it comes to nicknames. When Jesus gives these names to his apostles, and when we give them to a loved one, it's a way of communicating something we see in that person. And when we hear that name mentioned by the giver, it affirms us, it connects us to our history with that person, it reminds us of our value, and it establishes that we belong. A well-known and respected musician once said, "Bob Marley isn't my name. I don't even know my name yet." So how do you know your name? The name that affirms and celebrates who you are. And how do you live this name out? While misguided at times, the Boanerges brothers displayed a wonderful boldness of character that God empowered as they brought Jesus' love to the world. Their passion played out in opposite extremes, with James the first of the apostles to be martyred, and John the last of the group to die of old age. The letters written by John in his later years still reveal his fervent spirit. Eventually, this zeal for Christ led to him being given a new nickname, the Apostle of Love. These men were affirmed in who they were made to be, and this was celebrated in their nickname. Every time they heard this name, it carried great power because of who gave them that name. We recognize that this required them to silence some of the other names in their lives, starting with fishermen. Their character was affirmed in relationship as they walked with God and the other apostles. They knew who they were made to be because Jesus breathed his spirit on them. So how might you embrace some of these practices today? What voices need to be silenced today so you can hear the voice that allows your nickname to be affirmed? So who God has made you to be can come alive. Is it the voice of Netflix or YouTube, Instagram or TikTok? The voice of laziness or the voice of chasing new things? And what opportunity for community exists for you today where you can affirm another's nickname as they in turn affirm yours? Your partner, your children, a friend, a pastor, a mentor. It will likely require intentionality as it did the Boanerges brothers. While you may not get a nickname exactly like James and John did, you can rest assured that God will affirm who you are as you invite the Holy Spirit to be in relationship with you. Through scripture, relationship, and circumstance, the Holy Spirit will affirm certain qualities in your life that He wants to celebrate in you for the blessing of others. Let me leave you with a scripture that affirms what we've been exploring. May these words from Romans 8:17 be an encouragement to you as you hear them now and as you contemplate them throughout your day. "This resurrection life you received from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, 'What's next, Dad?' God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who He is, and we know who we are, Father and children. In the intimacy of this relationship, you will know who you really are."
Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed these episodes, please consider helping us continue to produce them with a financial gift. Go to journeytn.com/give to learn more.